The note Nadia had given Camilla and me, right before we made our great wheelchair escape from the Nereus, had contained coordinates that led us to the planet we were currently descending to. Without much of a plan, I might add. It was supposedly inhabited by the transient castoffs who didn't fall in line with August Walton, the Eternal playing God back on the planet-sized ship we'd left behind. Imperia was the single word scrawled on the back of the note. For now, we decided to ascribe that designation to the planet. "Well, damn," I said, appreciating the view. The world was mostly untouched and offered all the usual climates. Plenty of beaches, ski hills, or tropical locales for whatever a person might fancy. It would have made someone a lot of money back home as a Luxo planet. Only people with enough money could vacation or live on those fancy balls of rock. They had the best views, food, and, well, everything. My parents had taken me to one of them after pulling off a big job when I was 16. Summer Paradise was, as the name implied, hot, and I didn't just mean the temperature. As a 16-year-old who was just discovering the delights of the opposite sex, the scantily clad beauties frolicking on the beaches sure made it a paradise for me.
"Why are you smiling like that?"
Deacon asked in a suspicious tone. "Just glad to be done with Walton and his crazy cognabitch for the time being," I lied. "Now we have to come up with a better plan than just sitting here." A click sounded on the bridge, indicating my AI had something to add.
"The scanners are picking up activity near the main city hub. A group has gathered and appears to be preparing for something. Considering that we did not cloak the ship, my deduction would be to mobilize."
Boots on the ground already. Well, that had been the goal I had in mind when giving the order to let them see us. We were operating on little information, almost zero to be exact, and it seemed the most efficient way to make contact.
"If they're as primitive as you said, then I'm not too worried about it," Barrack put in.
Lieutenant John Barrack, the man I'd enlisted to my crew as a defense expert, had a point. According to the scans, the people who lived on Imperia didn't have the same technology that we did. Their society operated on a low-tech spectrum, so it was a reasonable assumption that we weren't facing much of a threat. However, I'd finally learned the age-old lesson when it came to assumption. This mission to find Gray's Anipsian home sector had driven the point home that nothing was ever what it seemed at the surface level. "Primitive or not, I don't want to be caught off guard," I told him. "We treat every threat like we would any other. For all we know, the Imperians could have met with some random precursor who felt like having fun and gave them weapons that could dissolve us on contact." That gave everyone a pause. The precursors were a godlike race of people who were responsible for giving ancient humans the ability to access slipspace. It was due to their interference that our ancestors eventually discovered how to perfect the human genome and brought about the evolution of Eternals. That, in turn, led to the birth of Celestials, the homicidal offshoots of our ancestors. One of the precursors was even involved in the formation of Gray's race of aliens. From where I stood, the gods like to play with living beings, so my concerns were justified.
"That's smart, Riker,"
commented Camilla Abernathy. My lovely co-captain wore a thoughtful expression, her eyes on the navigation display where Poe had put up markers to denote the approaching ground forces now that we were in the final landing procedures.
"They're moving pretty slow," Selena observed. "It'll probably take them a while to get here. I wonder if we're dealing with a town mob."
Barrack shook his head.
"Not from what I'm seeing. Too organized and precise. I'd say they've got at least some military experience."
A short beep sounded. "Here we go," I muttered. "What is it now, Poe?"
"The farming community that lies to the south across the lake also has a crowd gathering. As the lieutenant pointed out, their movements are distinct," he added. "The opposite of the city, more akin to spectators." "I doubt they're going to walk all this way," Deacon commented. "I'm curious to see how they get around without any sort of hover tech at their disposal."